This is the Sarah Carter Podcast, and I am coming to you from beautiful Radio America in Arlington, where only three people are still allowed to walk on the sidewalk together at a time, unless you want to be fined $400. Possibly, maybe. We'll see about that. I haven't been fined yet. But here at the Sarah Carter Show, we are going to bring you the latest on developments, not only here in the United States, but across the globe to our friends and allies in Japan and Hong Kong. I have a very special guest coming up later in the show. Her name is Yoko Ishii. She is a really great friend of mine. She's a journalist from Japan. She voices her analysis and opinion on the politics of the region, and particularly the ongoing crisis with China. You guys will not want to miss this. She is, she's going to tell you breaking news, what's happening with one of the biggest, most outspoken leaders in the freedom democracy movement in Hong Kong, Andy Chan, and what has been happening there with the recent arrests of Jimmy Lai, who is a media tycoon from Hong Kong, arrested by the Chinese communist government, who created basically and allowed the Wuhan virus, the China virus, to spread all over the world because the Communist Party did not want to warn us, but has now taken Jimmy Lai and six other people into custody under their new tyrannical national security law. So that will be coming up shortly. But before we get there, I want to talk about what's happening here in the United States, because there's been a lot of developments, a lot of things happening. We had Mark Levin, Life, Liberty, and Levin, the great Mark Levin, who was on Sunday interviewing Attorney General William Barr. And I want you to hear what the Attorney General had to say right here.
And really represents a Rousseauian revolutionary party that believes in tearing down the system. That what's wrong about America today all has to do with the institutions we have, and we have to tear them down. And they're interested in complete political victory. They're not interested in compromise. They're not interested in dialectic exchange of views. They're interested in total victory. And that's it's a secular religion. It's a substitute for a religion. They view their political opponents and they as evil. That because we stand in the way of their progressive utopia that they're trying to reach.
I want you to think about what Attorney General William Barr is saying to us. And what he is saying there is so frightening. I never believed that the United States of America would come to this precipice, this point. I remember being a young girl and my father talking about World War II and fighting, in the South Pacific. After Japan had basically, bombed Pearl Harbor. And yes, my father was an older father. He went into the war at the age of 16 and a half. He basically lied about his age, got into the military, and was a Marine. And he fought for our country. And I think about all the men and women that have sacrificed so much to protect this nation, to protect those fundamental principles. And here we have the Attorney General of the United States. Finally, somebody who has the courage to speak up and say it like it is. He is telling you what is happening, folks. He is not making this up. This is not political. This is not just for President Trump. Barr is pretty much straight on this, that there are groups inside this country that have now been usurped, taken over by radical leftist Marxists, and that Democrats, who used to be center, we didn't all agree on the same thing, but we used to be able to communicate to one another, both the Republicans and the Democrats, coming to a compromise. Those Democrats are so desperate to retain power that they are willing to allow, and to become a part of a resistance to not only take this president out of office, but to fundamentally change our nation forever. Fundamentally change it forever. I want you to think about at the very beginning, at the very top of this monologue, I talked about my friend Yoko Ishii in Japan, now a great ally of our country, based on freedom and based on democracy. And how our friends in Hong Kong, the young people of Hong Kong who were out in the streets every single day, the ones that we saw marching through the streets of Hong Kong, carrying, by the way, American flags and standing up for liberty and freedom against the Chinese Communist Party. Think about what happened in Tiananmen Square in the 1980s when a young man stood in the middle of a road with a bag in front of tanks, and said, "No, you cannot tread on me." Think about that statement that that young man made and how he disappeared. Well, now our friends' lives are being threatened. And that's how close we as a nation could be threatened. We could lose everything if we don't wake up. This is the reason why the last podcast I talked about the unsilent majority. We must not remain silent. We must unsilence ourselves. We must speak out. We should not be afraid of standing up for what's right. The children and the people of Hong Kong are not afraid to stand up against a tyrannical government that, by the way, has taken some of their leaders into custody and is threatening to take a good friend of mine, Andy Chan, into custody if he speaks up, if he speaks out against them. What kind of world do we live in? What kind of nation are we if we don't stand up for freedom? What does that make us? I want to play you a clip. And this is a clip of Andy Chan. I did an interview with him, and I want you to hear it. It's in Korea. We were in Korea when we did this interview. I couldn't meet him the first time I went to Japan last year with CPAC because he was arrested actually at the airport trying to leave Hong Kong to come to CPAC Japan. So the next trip was Korea. I met him in Korea there. They gave him one day. And what I did was I gave him the floor. So I was speaking to a group of young people in Korea, right around 300, I believe, young people. And it was at an event. And I started my speech and then introduced Andy, and they, of course, all knew who he was, who he is. They were so excited to hear him speak, and I brought him on stage and gave him 10 minutes or whatever of my time before I had to wrap up. I wanted us to split the time so he could tell his story. And afterwards, Andy and I had a long interview, and this is what he had to say, and he quotes Thomas Jefferson here.
History repeats itself. That's why Thomas Jefferson said that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time by blood of tyrants and patriots. Why is it from time to time? Because people will forget. Because the new generation will take everything for granted. They forgot what happened before, and they didn't know. They don't know why is it so important to have democracy. Why is it so important to fight for that? Once they lose democracy, once they lose freedom, they experience, like experience socialism, experience the threat from communists, they realize, like we, and then they would fight.
Wow. There has never been a more true statement than that. And in America, it's almost as if so many of us have forgotten about the sacrifices. Even the most recent sacrifices. Think about this. Think about what happened on September 11th, 2001, when terrorists hijacked planes, flew them into the World Trade Center, into the Pentagon, crashed in a field with American citizens on board, American citizens and foreigners jumping from the high rise of the World Trade Center, plunging to their deaths as fire consumed those buildings, those icons. Think about what we did for one another. Think about how we stood together. Think about our first responders, our police and our firefighters and paramedics and people on the street that rushed into the burning buildings in New York City to save lives. Didn't matter if they were American or not. They just ran into the buildings. Didn't matter what color they were, they ran into the buildings. Didn't matter who they were. Didn't matter if they knew each other. Didn't matter if they were old or young. We were there for each other. We sacrificed for one another. We stood up to tyranny. We stood up to Al-Qaeda. We stood up to Islamic State. We stood up to extremists. And we stood for one another. We weren't ashamed. We put our flags out in front of our houses. People were knitting flag blankets and pillowcases, and old ladies were crocheting, and maybe young ladies too, and maybe young men. I'm not trying to be, you know, derogatory here. But what I'm trying to say is that we were all together. We were a nation that stood together, stood for something. We didn't stand against each other. We didn't rip each other apart. We didn't tear each other down. That is what we are doing now. And you have to ask yourself why. Are you being played? Are you being played? Because you are being played. By the way, you are being played. You're being played by extremist groups. You're being played by people in Washington, D.C., an establishment, an elite group of people that is disgusted and angry and outraged that President Donald Trump got elected to the White House, and they can't stand it. They want their old ways back. They want to pocket the money. They don't want you to know their secrets. They are dividing us. They are dividing us because it suits them. They don't care about you. They don't care that children are dying on the streets in Chicago, that people are dying on the streets in New York, that heroin addicts are back out on the streets just shooting up wherever they want. And look at what's happening in San Francisco. Look at what's happening in California. They do not care about you. They do not care that they politicize everything, that they have politicized our nation, that they have politicized, for crying out, COVID-19, an epidemic. They don't care. What they care about is retaining power and getting that power back. And they are going to use you to do it. But you don't have to let them. You can stand up. You can speak out. You can choose not to hate. Look, over 360-something million people in this country, and you're telling me that we have to hate our police officers, that they're all, which, by the way, officers come in every color and every religion, that they're racist? Are you really going to believe that? Based on what? Okay, there are incidents. There are horrible, tragic incidents like George Floyd. Horrible, tragic, held accountable. But you're expected to believe that it's all over the place, that there is racism everywhere, that this nation is divided, that we are going to tear at each other's throats until we establish some new form of government which resembles Marxism, which resembles CCP, maybe, China, right? Where the Chinese, where the government judges, where the government gives you, where the government doesn't give you freedom, but gives you only the opportunity to be just like everyone else. Maybe, but not really. Because the government is the one that retains the power. That's how Chinese communists operate. That's why I've invited Yoko Ishii onto the show today. I don't want you to forget about the people that are fighting for liberty and freedom, just like our forefathers fought for it in the United States. And just like we fight for it every day. And just like our men and women in the military fight for it every single day that they're sent overseas to protect this country so that the wars don't come here. There are people all over the world that look to this nation for enlightenment, that see this nation as a beacon of hope, that want to emulate the principles that our founding fathers established in this country. And Yoko Ishii is one of them. She's not afraid to stand up to the Chinese communist regime. Neither is her husband, and neither is Andy Chan, who I talked about at the top of the show, a phenomenal human being, a fighter for human rights and independence and liberty in Hong Kong, whose life is now being threatened by the Chinese. So this is so important for us, Yoko, to get the word out, right? What do we need to do? What do we need to be made aware of?
Hong Kong situation now has shifted. And so at the end of June, Hong Kong's national so-called national security law was passed, and it's now active. And due to that, I'm sorry, I'm so nervous.
I know that you're nervous, and this is a very scary time. And I want every one of you out there to understand how important it is for Yoko Ishii to be here with us today. She has been a longtime defender of freedom and liberty in Asia, and particularly in defending the rights, her and her husband, of Andy Chan and pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong against the Chinese Communist Party. It is so extraordinarily dangerous for people involved in this right now. And I can understand, Yoko, why you're nervous. I mean, this is a really tough time. This is tough even for when you think about Andy. I mean, what's the situation like for him?
Andy and I go back to 2016. That's when we first met. But at the time, of course, as you know, Hong Kong was under so-called one country, two systems. But today, even as President Trump stated, Hong Kong is now under one country, one system, which doesn't have any grounds. And so what that means is that Hong Kong is now directly controlled by CCP-led China. So when we talk about Hong Kong today, it's like we are talking about part of China, unfortunately.
Which is, I mean, this is incredible because there was such a big fight to stop this from happening, to give Hong Kong its own voice, its own independence. And obviously, the Chinese Communist Party believed it was stronger than that, stronger than the voices of the people, and basically took hold of Hong Kong. And they did this through policy and strength of fist, rule of law, basically under this new national security law, which imposes on everyone who speaks out against the Chinese government is that basically they could be arrested, right?
Yes. And Andy is even in danger. And his party was actually banned in 2018. Andy is actually the convener of Hong Kong National Party, but it started in 2016, but it got banned in 2018. His party was the first to advocate Hong Kong independence, and
he spoke out against the communist regime. And talk about those, because I was with you in Japan when Andy was taken into custody. Talk a little bit about that. We were hoping for Andy to come to Japan to be a part of CPAC, right? To speak out in Japan, CPAC Japan, but he was taken into custody at the airport. Could you fill everyone in on how that evolved? What happened there? Because it was really quite frightening, a situation for all of us.
There was a CPAC in Tokyo, Japan last year, but previously to that, so he got arrested on his way here, so he didn't make it to come to Japan at the time. But what happened was, previously to that, we actually held a protest together in Japan in June last year when G20 Osaka was held. So we named our activity as J20, like taken from justice, but we called it J20. And at the time already, Andy's party was banned, and therefore he couldn't organize anything politically. So what he did was he posted that he will come join our protest in Osaka against Xi Jinping. And he posted on Facebook he is coming to Japan, and just by that, 100 Hong Kongers flew to Osaka from Hong Kong, and that included 5 student unions from Hong Kong.
That's just incredible. And Andy has been very outspoken. One of the big news developments that happened over the weekend, and it's putting Andy's life right on the line, is the arrest of the media tycoon, Jimmy Lai, in Hong Kong. He, along with 6 others, have been taken into custody by the Chinese Communist Party. We don't know where they're at right now. Andy falls right into that group of people that I'm very concerned about. Can you talk a little bit about And the only reason we don't have Andy on the show right now, I just want all of you out there to understand why Yoko is on the show speaking out for Andy, is because anything Andy says right now, anything he says right now could mean his life. That means if he gets on the podcast with me right now, he may not survive. So his friends have to speak up for him. We have to speak up for him. We have to keep his memory right now alive and well in the media so that people understand that people like Andy right now who are speaking out against the CCP, their life is in danger. Their life is in danger. So Yoko is here speaking on his behalf because of this. Now we see this happen to Jimmy Lai. And I know Andy's spoken to you. He's spoken to me about this. But tell me, what are some of the concerns right now that we know people are being arrested? Can you talk a little bit about what maybe Andy would be worried about what some concerns might be for him and for his friends?
I think that the struggle that he's having is that even though he wants to fight politically, it is not allowed in Hong Kong anymore. He's probably struggling whether to decide how to fight because Andy is such an iconic leader of Hong Kong, especially pro-independence people. So if he even if he doesn't do anything, he will eventually get caught. That's what we think. And so maybe he wants to do something politically. Maybe he is thinking about strategy, or maybe he believes that it's best to keep quiet and just live there under the regime, which I don't think that he wants to, but I'm pretty sure that he is struggling right now, and it's up to us outsiders to work for him.
Right, and speak out for freedom in Hong Kong and for the people of Hong Kong. I know when I talked to Andy last, it was before this law, before the national security law went into effect. And one of the things he said was that the United States and Western democracies like the United States need to speak out for the people of Hong Kong. Do you think that the United States and other democracies have done enough to speak out for the people of Hong Kong? And if not, what do you think can be done?
I think the contribution of the United States is amazing, and I wish that my country, Japan, would contribute more. But the difficult part of this battle is that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't understand our values or our language, and sometimes it's best to speak by power. And it's something that I actually heard from a Hong Konger, that power is the language. So even though...
What do you mean by power? What do you mean by power? Not the language, but the power. The power of the people, the power to stand up. What power?
I'm talking about like economic sanctions and even military force and so forth that actually affects them directly.
Right. And so that's something that Japan, certainly the President Trump has talked about sanctioning and has mm-hmm. done so with the Chinese. That's something that's definitely affected the Chinese government. Any talk about trade and sanctions and actually closing off the loophole that Andy Chan used to tell me was part of Hong Kong, being a loophole for China as far as getting products in and out of China without being tariffed, right?
Yes, he talks about Hong Kong as a backdoor to China. So it goes, first comes to Hong Kong and then goes into China. So he was willing to sanction his own motherland.
Let me ask you this, Yoko, because you have such a great show in Japan, you know, and it's a YouTube show. And I tell you, everyone should have an opportunity to see it because Yoko is so creative and she has so much going on there. You can see what's happening in Japan, particularly with the youth in Asia, both in Japan and Hong Kong and across the board as they fight for freedom, which is completely opposite than what we're seeing right here, right now. And I'll talk to you about that in a minute, Yoko. But it's called... It's on YouTube and it's Random Yoko 2. That's Random Yoko 2 if you want to see her YouTube show. I want to ask you really quickly, Yoko, when you see what's happening in the United States right now, you see the protests on the street, you see the uprising, a more of a push for a radical leftist, maybe even Marxist, you would say in some cases, socialist style regime. What goes through your mind? Because we see the young people in Hong Kong actually trying to fight for more freedom, trying to fight for the liberty to speak up against a tyrannical government. Do you see that? Or what are you seeing over there in Japan as far as like when you look at the United States and see what's happening here?
What catches my attention is that American people often talk about division of the U.S., how the United States is not united and is divided. But when every time I hear that, I think to myself that America, everyone has different opinions because the country is free. It's everyone having different opinions shows that the country is free. And what's happening with all the riots and everything is that I don't see it as division. I see it as terrorism, that some people want to end America today and completely change the country from the very beginning. So I don't see it as a division, and I see it as some people wanting the end of America.
That's really quite frightening, especially when I think of it, the complexity of that. Like, I think of all the people that have wanted to be a part of this great nation, or that want their nations to emulate the same kind of exceptionalism that's established in America and our Constitution. What goes through your mind if you think that America could one day be dissolved, or that people are actually trying, and I believe the Chinese Communist Party would want this too, actually trying to break the back of America, break America's spirit, take away that liberty and ability and freedom? What goes through your mind as somebody who is a citizen of Japan and so far away from this?
So when I look at all the what the rioters in the U.S. are thinking, their opinions seem like, as you said, like Marxists, like communists. And if you look at the world history, communism has killed people the most. And what happens is that what I think is that when America is no longer united, then CCP-led China would come in. And when that happens, you will no longer have freedom. And it is like you can just see what's happening in Tibet, East Turkestan, Southern Mongolia, and Hong Kong today. And they don't have freedom. They don't even have a normal life. Their everyday life is always threatened. So I really don't want America to be like that.
I know, it is really quite frightening, because I think that people take it for granted. They take those freedoms for granted, and people don't understand that there are so many people that are fighting on the front lines all around the world, just like Andy Chan, just like you, Yoko Ishii, just like your husband, who are fighting for freedom in so many other places and who want to exalt and uplift those principles that were established here in our Constitution hundreds of years ago. And I think that for a lot of people, they just don't understand that. If you know, we only have a few minutes left, but if you could talk to an American audience, and you are right now, but if you could speak directly to them, tell them how you feel, what you are experiencing, and why this is so important to you to get the word out about what's happening to the people of Hong Kong, to us here.
I want American people to look at what's happening in Asia. We actually have an alliance network, like it's not on a national level, but we as activists, we have an alliance network, especially this one called Free Indo-Pacific Alliance, which is coming from Free and Open Indo-Pacific Strategy, which is the strategy of both the U.S. and Japan. But we are, it consists of all the nation states that are oppressed by CCP-led China. And it's what I'm feeling is that it's really difficult to counterattack China after we are colonized, like what's happening today. So, but now America still have time, and I want American people to just look at Asia, what's happening and how hard it is to fight back. It's going to be too late for America to fight back if your country loses freedom.
Wow, I couldn't have said that better myself. Thank you so much, Yoko, for being on with me today. It's 2 a.m. in the morning in Japan right now, and you stayed up all night just to be here at the Sarah Carter Show and talk to every one of you out there. I mean, listen to what Yoko is saying. She is pleading and talking directly to you. She knows our friend is in a lot of danger right now. We're going to do everything we can, Yoko, to get the word out and make sure that the administration understands that it's unacceptable that the Chinese Communist government needs to keep their hands off of Andy Chan and other activists that fight for freedom and liberty in Asia, and particularly for democracy in Hong Kong. Thank you again. And Yoko, have a great night.
Thank you, Sarah.
I can't begin to tell you, having Yoko on the show is so important for all of us and hearing what she has to say, because it reflects what's happening now in the United States, our struggle, our fight to express ourselves, but also to not be taken hostage by these leftist radical groups that, instead of promoting freedom and democracy, are trampling on that freedom and democracy. I'm going to explain a little bit what's happening right now in Hong Kong and in China, and how powerful the Chinese Communist Party has become in Hong Kong. You know, they've passed this national security measure. People can be arrested, taken into custody just for speaking out against the Chinese government. They can make it retroactive. So basically, nobody has any rights. Andy Chan, who we spoke about, who headed the Hong Kong National Party, which has now been disbanded by the Chinese, and remember, he is being nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, is actually at the top of their list. Andy, thankfully, has not been arrested, but others have. And there is a long list. The Chinese have a very long list of people. What's interesting, there's actually a website. It's called Hong Kong Leaks. There are 1,800 people on that website listed, not just from Hong Kong. These are people from all over the world, including Yoko's husband, by the way, Yoko Ishii's husband, who is on that list because he is such a close friend of Andy Chan, because he does care for Andy Chan like a brother and stands up for him. He is on that list, so he can be taken into custody. So unfortunately, Yoko's husband cannot go to Hong Kong to visit his best friend, Andy Chan, can't speak for him, can't speak up for him there either. He has to do it from a distance. That is why she's reaching out, so that you out there will understand, as patriots, as Americans, what Andy and others are fighting for. Remember, 1,800 people on that list. It could be me too. They listen to this podcast, they being the Communist Chinese Party, listen to this podcast. If I ever go to Hong Kong and try to interview Andy in Hong Kong, they can arrest me too. That's how serious this is. That's just how serious this is. So that you know, there have been 7 arrests. I talked about this up at the beginning of the show. One of the people that was arrested this weekend in Hong Kong is a media tycoon by the name of Jimmy Lai. He has been fighting alongside Andy Chan for democracy and freedom in Hong Kong. He has spoken, he has been very outspoken, has a lot of allies here in the United States, people that defend his right to speak freely. I am one of them. I want you to hear what happened when a journalist asked Jimmy Lai, this is before he was arrested, on the prospect of being taken into custody by the Chinese Communist Party.
The prospect of spending the rest of your life in jail, perhaps in a Chinese prison, wouldn't exactly thrill you.
Well, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to think about things that scares me. I'm staying here. I'm staying here till the end. If we go down, we go down together. We burn together. That's my promise to my people.
He is a patriot. That is what patriots do. They stand up for their people. They stand up for each other. They don't tear apart the nation that gives them freedom and liberty. They fight for that freedom and liberty. They don't want it to go away. That's what we've talked about on this entire podcast. That's what I talk about on almost every single podcast, how important it is for us as Americans to stand up for those freedoms. But it's not just in our house talking about it around the dinner table. It's people overseas like Jimmy Lai and Andy Chan who are standing up and speaking out and not remaining silent. I am just as afraid for our nation right now. I am afraid we are on the precipice of something we cannot come back from so easily. We are seeing people on the streets, not fighting for freedom and democracy, but fighting to tear our nation in two, fighting to divide us. And the patriots are quiet. I keep hearing this silent majority, the silent majority. This isn't about President Trump and just putting President Trump into office. This is about speaking up for democracy and freedom and not allowing the government to amass such control over its people. Think about what happened during the Obama administration and the investigation into President Trump and his campaign. They weaponized the intelligence agencies. They weaponized our federal law enforcement agencies. What makes you think that if they could get away with this with President Trump, because we haven't seen any indictments yet, I certainly hope John Durham and William Barr do indict. But what makes you think that if they've done this to a campaign, if they've amassed this much power, they can't do it to you? Look at what's happening right now with Twitter. Look at what's happening right now with Facebook. Look at what's happening right now with Amazon and these huge conglomerates seizing control of the conversation. Don't allow this to happen. Shadow banning people they don't like. You know, utilizing their platforms for civil disobedience, civil disruption, politicizing it to the point where people with different ideas can't get their ideas out. This is what these platforms were supposed to be. Do not be silent anymore, America. Do not be silent anymore. Speak up. You have the power in your kitchen, out on your farm, in your living room, at the gym. No matter where you go, you have a phone, you have a voice, you are an American. You stand for something that is so amazing and awesome. It's freedom, folks. It's freedom. There is nothing cooler than that. And I'm going to keep saying it. Nothing is cooler. Nothing is better than freedom, than having liberty. Liberty. It's like a breath of fresh air, right? Who wants to be under the thumb of a tyrannical government? Who wants to be told what to say and when to say it and what to buy and who to talk to? Who wants to be reporting their neighbors? Who wants to live in a world like that? Who wants to live in China? Do you? Do you want to live in China? Do you want to live in the former Soviet Union? No, not me. Again, this is the Sarah Carter Show. I know I sounded like I'm preaching to you. I'm just asking you to speak up. Unsilence yourselves. Unsilent majority. Remember, you can follow me at Sarah Carter DC on Twitter, on Instagram, at S Carter DC, and on Parler at Sarah Carter Official. Also, please go to our website, sarahacarter.com, no H, that's sarahacarter.com, for the latest stories. And when you listen to this podcast, please, please, please rate us on Spreaker, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Please give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you think. We're always listening and reading your reviews. Remember, at the Sarah Carter Podcast, we are taking the story back.